Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
David, how are you?
Sarah, Morena, I'm well. Well, no, I'm a bit triggered, actually.
Why?
I realised after all these years of hearing that sting, I realised what it is. I'm a recovering hunting addict, and
are you?
Whenever I hear that shit, it just throws me.
I thought it was the dog racing, but yes, it is an old sting. You are correct.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's all of those. Look, punters don't distinguish. I remember we went out to Hutt Park Rec one Wednesday evening because to see the dish lickers, and I about 3 races in, I took a long, hard look at myself and said, "What the hell are you doing?" But it didn't stop me for another fight until another 3 or 4 years.
Oh, is it the adrenaline? I have friends that bet on professional sport quite a lot, and I promised myself I would ne'er be one, but they get quite excited. They say that putting a bit of a flutter on makes it all the more interesting. I'm like, all desperately unhappy.
Yeah, I think that is exactly it. You know, if I might stretch out on the couch here for a minute.
Go for it. Tell me about your father.
Yeah, the same reason that I was a drinker, you know.
And
that took me 40 years to get over.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Looking back on it, that it was sort of any intensity in my life, more than I could handle, I would go for a drink. And I think, in a way, punting is the same thing. You're kind of smoothing out the peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You're controlling the anxiety versus excitement.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I drink for the same reason, and I haven't quite gotten over it yet.
Yeah, well, like I say, 40 short years. And that was after a heart attack sort of put me off. I'm not sure.
Oh, David. Well, speaking of excitement, you sent me a wonderful email last night which contained something from your... Is it your Substack?
Yeah, that's right.
And it was kind of a play, almost. It was definitely a bit. And would you mind telling the listeners the topic?
Sarah, it would be my pleasure. the title was... and I'm quickly scrambling to bring it back up again. Order of ceremony for the Jacinda Ardern show trial and ritual humiliation.
So the show trial and the ritual humiliation, you are, of course, referring to the potential that ex-Prime Minister, we like America, are you always Prime Minister if you were once Prime Minister here?
Indeed.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern may be called in front of the Royal COVID Commission that is currently in full swing. Is that correct?
Indeed. Indeed, and in fact, this preceded that confirmation, because it's more various media voices saying, she's got to come and show herself, she's got to come and bloody get on her hind feet and explain herself. And
but I mean, she hasn't been officially asked to come, so it's just a lot of hot air, right?
Exactly. and there is so much of all of this... just a chance to relitigate their enmity, which they possess for various reasons. And in this order of ceremony, what I really did was just run through what each of these various people will be saying, which kind of shows you the pathology of their enmity. for example, Miss DPB Allen will rise to say, I want to hear you apologise for showing empathy during a crisis.
I know, how dare you?
She may, if she chooses, add, this made me feel very uncomfortable.
You know, I went through university with Heather. I believe we had some theatre papers together, so I think she'd be well into the performative aspect of standing up and saying that.
Oh, truly. I remember her from my Radio Live days. She was an army of one. you would not want to be in a falling asleep in a lifeboat with her.
Oh, I respect the hustle. I just don't... I think we would have differing opinions on where we point that hustle. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I also have Mr. M. Hosking wearing Armani and looking as though he has been pulled backwards through a hedge.
It's a skill.
True. Addressing the accused without rising, saying, mate, I want to hear you apologise for making an astonishing hash of your job. He will not be asked to square this with data. He will not be asked to square this with data showing the country got off lighter than almost any other.
I know.
Mr. Ryan Bridge, with his feet up on a desk, will shout from the back, "Yeah, and I want to hear you apologise for quoting all those scientists and making me have to keep Googling shit."
Oh, no, it's so hard when it's your job to know things and somebody actually makes you look something up.
It's just a fang, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Too short. Also, Mr. Harold, subscriber of Parnell, will get to his feet and attempt to say into a microphone that has not been turned on, I want to hear you apologise for being young and female. That is not what a Prime Minister is supposed to look like.
I mean, I wish letters to the editor weren't like that, but they are.
Oh, they truly are. And the same in the, for example, News Talk ZB comments page on Facebook. This became very clear very quickly once Jacinda Ardern was Prime Minister, that there's a certain kind of person that just could not comprehend that she might be suited to this role, or that it was her place to hold it. And they never got past that. And then, of course, when you get a COVID epidemic, which requires that the state impose more control than we're used to, for our protection, for the saving of our lives, they just go absolutely apeshit. And there has been so much Monday morning quarterbacking of this, you know. I just sort of, in hindsight, they say, "Oh, she shouldn't have done that. They went too far. They ruined lives." Altogether forgetting that, you know, the counterfactual to this is, imagine for a moment that it wasn't possible to come up with a vaccine. Imagine for a moment that the deaths kept on happening. Imagine for a moment that the infection rate continued to climb. You know, marvellous piece of statistics work that on this very station, on this very show, Marcus Lush did about 30 years ago that I have quoted endlessly.
Oh, Marcus.
I remember him saying, you know, to a caller, "Did you, fucking it up.
That's fine.
His crucial point was that the people meter that was doing the TV rating.
Oh, yes, the worm.
That's right.
The worm.
No, not the worm. Another one that, for a time, there were about 800 households that had the people meter.
Oh, okay. Not the ratings one.
Yeah, and it delivered the rating.
Yes.
And he would say, you know, "How do they come up with these ratings? Do you know anybody who's got one?" And
yeah.
He'd say, "If you ask anybody in this country if they knew somebody on the plane that crashed into Erebus, they'd say yes."
Oh, gosh.
But I cannot find a person who has a people meter. Point about the stats being, you know, this country, something like Erebus shows just how proximate we are to fatality. And once you had got past 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 deaths of COVID, you would have had the whole country realize,
yes,
Jesus Christ, this thing is just breathing down our neck. And they would have been terrified.
There's a grim but salient point.
Yeah, well, and the further point is that in those early days, we didn't know. We had no idea where it was going to take us, and we were grateful. Everybody, well, just about everybody, was really grateful that this government was doing enough to keep the lights on and keep money in everybody's bank account so that things could go on, albeit locked down with teddy bears looking out the window.
Yeah.
And that was bloody marvellous.
Hey, David, now, you're never going to guess what. Somebody just texted on 5395 and said, "Do Ian Taylor, you cowards."
Oh, well, okay, he's in that list too.
He is.
In the order of ceremony, it says Mr. I.I.I. Taylor will have an email read out in his name complaining about making New Zealand internationally admired.
How very dare. For all of the listeners who aren't aware of what your Substack is called...
Thank you very much, Sarah. More Than a Fielding.
More Than a Fielding is fantastic. And seeing as we are bumping slightly up against the news at 8, I'm going to swing violently to the fact that you picked a track in that Substack entry.
Indeed.
May I ask why you picked that track and if you would like to introduce it right now?
That's lovely, Sarah. It would be my pleasure. David Bowie's best album of all, Ziggy Stardust, it opens with 5 years, which captures that whole notion of the doomed world and how we feel when we think we have no escape, which I might remind people. we felt at the early stages of the COVID pandemic. So, yes, I'm glad you assumed I had a reason for picking it, because I did.
I knew you must. With the Substack name like More Than a Fielding, you've got to have a reason for the song you pick. Thank you so much. It's been lovely to talk to you, David. We're going to go out with
Sarah.
5 Years by David Bowie. Talk soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Market Square. So many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people. Hadn't pulled her off, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken arm fixed his stare to the wheels of a Cadillac. A cop knelt and kissed the feet of a priest, and a queer threw up the sight of that. I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor. And I thought of Ma, and I wanted to get back there. Your face, your race, the way that you talk. I kiss you, you're beautiful.
Five years, stop going by. 5 years.
5 Years by David Bowie, the pick of another David, David Slack, who brought you today's political commentary. That certainly set the text machine alight. Somebody texted in saying, I was working on a film job just before lockdown. The army was with the health department looking at the Auckland film studios in Henderson. I've been there, they're massive, as a makeshift morgue. That's how many deaths they were potentially looking at. Jinkies.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.